Welcome back to the Daily Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Woods. I am here with Daily Thunder beat writer, Brandon Rabar. How are you, Brandon?
I'm good. It's a Tuesday night. Going to talk some Thunder basketball, some NBA basketball. We are in the home stretch.
You know what wasn't great? The Lakers housing, big brothering the Thunder last night. Gosh, I don't really know what to say other than that's a bad matchup. I think it's a matchup the Thunder should work to avoid. Do you feel the same way, or are you like, would you like to talk me down from that? That, you know, maybe this is a result that I shouldn't read too much into, given what I led with, and that it's a second night of a back to back. It feels like this is a really bad matchup. What are your thoughts?
I think it's somewhere in between, or some of A, some of B, some of C. I do think that it's a tough matchup. Any given night, LeBron James can still be LeBron James. Anthony Davis is still Anthony Davis. And then some of their role players like Austin Reeves, or, I mean, I don't know if you call D'Lo a role player or not, but I mean, he was hot last night. If you look at the season averages, you know, the Lakers are an average three-point shooting team, but they've been on fire each of the past few times. They beat the Thunder three straight times. They've been on fire. The Thunder are the number one three-point shooting team, and each of the last three times they've played the Lakers, they can't hit a shot. So some of it I do think is shooting variance, but some of that I do think is size. I think, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James pose some problems. Also, the way they throw the zone at the Thunder may be causing some issues, their physicality. So I think it's a combination of some of these things, but also the second night of a road back-to-back. And then if you remember previously when the Lakers beat the Thunder, LeBron James had set the game before, so he had like 4 days rest, and they were saying it was – I can't remember how they phrased it, but they said it was a must-win game because they had lost several mm-hmm. games in a row, and they were treating it like the game of the year, and they came out and they played that way. So some of it is circumstances as well. Look, I don't think – and I said this before last night's game. I think you want to avoid the Lakers in the first round.
Yeah, we've mentioned that before for sure.
Yeah, I don't like the matchup. I especially just don't like – I don't think anybody, any team, likes the idea of playing LeBron James – and Anthony Davis and Lakers whistles in the first round. I would say avoid the matchup if you can, but at the same time, if it were to happen, I don't think it's as dire as the 3-1 series this season would make it seem. Also, the Thunder blew them out the first game. If you look at the net rating from all four games, the Lakers have only outscored the Thunder by 5 because the Thunder beat them so bad the first game. And LeBron and Anthony Davis did play that game. So, you know.
Yeah. The other piece to their length is Rui. He really does give them a player to put on either Shea or Jalen that is not only length at the rim once you get by the initial guy. It's you're going to have to work really hard just to get by the initial guy, because this is a big team. These are big lineups. They can put out even with guys on the perimeter, even like a backup like Jackson Hayes. Like, he's just a big, fast guy. And he's not necessarily someone that's going to take over a game on the defensive end, but he's still a really big guy and doesn't even play all that much. They just have a lot of length. Dinwiddie played a decent amount last night. They've got guys, and it's length on the perimeter and good defense, and they're able to switch. And switching with length while having Anthony Davis on the floor is a good recipe for this Oklahoma City team. If you can, for a team that drives as much as they do, if you can really prevent them from getting even just getting shots at the rim, and also the length and speed to close out to the inevitable pass out to the wing, that is a good recipe for defending what is an elite offense.
The length is a serious issue, and they kind of wall off Shea at the rim and force the Thunder into finding, you know, another source of offense, and then you throw the zone. Also, J-Dub, the fact that Shai had scored 8 straight games, 30 points or more, you know, it's become a meme at this point that he gets 31 a game. It just happens every night. He only ended up with 20. Some of that's because he didn't play much in the fourth quarter. J-Dub had an off night. Very rare that these guys have off nights. Again, some of that is the defense and the length and the physicality the Lakers threw at them. Some of that, Shai looked exhausted. It was like the third game on the road in 5 nights, second on the on a back-to-back. So I think some of that's that. Some of it's not hitting shots, though. Like, yeah. It seems maybe like a poor excuse, but there were a lot of shots that were open shots that we see Dub, SGA, Chet, Isaiah make. I mean,
yep.
So credit the defense, credit the schemes, credit the length, all those things. But I do think some of it, you know, there is some shooting variance in there as well on both sides.
No question about that. The looks that Isaiah Joe has gotten in the last two games, you know, the Suns and Laker game, I thought were fantastic. And yeah. I should say in the Suns game, a lot of those in the second half, not a lot, I would say two or three, were generated by Gordon Hayward, Commissioner Gordon, getting in like past his man at the 3-point line, getting to the foul line area and spraying it back to him. I, you know, those shots don't go in, but you kind of fist pump like, yes, that is the goal right there, is for a guy like Hayward to, that's what he does. You know, that's why he averages five and a half assists per game, on plays just like that, getting past his man, you know, even whether that's just one-on-one or he's attacking a closeout from a pass that he got from someone else and creating. That's good stuff. And the shots that Isaiah got on Sunday and last night, I thought were exactly what you're hoping to get a shooter of that caliber. And they just didn't go in. And like you're saying, that is the variance. Isaiah Joe not converting on some really good looks.
Yeah, they generated some really good looks. I mean, if a team's going to play zone against them, you want to shoot out of a zone. Thunder, number one three-point shooting team, generated good looks. And we saw this the previous time the Thunder played the Lakers. Like, how many times were you watching that game? I remember it. I think we all remember it clearly, where the Thunder, like, oh, generate, pass, 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 open shot, missed. It happened over and over again, and this happened again. So while I would, on one hand, say the Lakers are not the best matchup for the Thunder and you don't want to face them the first round for several reasons, if it were to happen, I wouldn't immediately say, oh, this is a lost cause. Thunder can't score against them. Lakers are going to get whatever they want. They have too much size, physicality. I think it would be a good series.
It should also be said that they're not a lock to play in the playoffs. they are going to have to earn their spot through the play-in, it seems like. And like, just like this matchup isn't all that friendly to us, they have some matchups in the West that aren't friendly to them. And we're talking about, you know, a one game situation. It's certainly not a foregone conclusion that this team even makes the final eight in the West. So that's how this West is going to be decided, is who ends up playing who and who's healthy, obviously, but the matchups are going to be very interesting, even starting in that play-in.
Especially if they're in that 9-10 spot. Like, if you don't want to be in the play-in, because a one or two game sample size, anything can happen. Your best players can be cold. Role players can be hot. Anything can happen. But at least in the 7 and 8 spot, you're going to get a home game and you get two chances. If you're in that 9 or 10 spot, it could be one and done.
We know what that's like.
This West is so stacked. Look, we know that the 10 teams that are going to be in the play-in already, we know the 5 that are out. And if it continues to be the 7, 8, 9, 10 as it is now, the Lakers are going to have some tough. Every matchup can be tough, whether it's the Pelicans or the Kings or the Mavs or the Warriors, the Suns. Would you want to play any of these teams if you're any of the other teams? I mean, these are tough matchups. There are going to be two really good teams that are legitimate playoff teams, playoff talent, that are not going to make the playoffs because they're going to get beat in the play-in. That would be easy playoff teams in the East.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing when you look at – I've kind of in my head written off a couple teams in the East, and it's like, no, they are still within striking distance of the play-in, which is – wild considering what's going on in the West.
Like the Hawks and the Bulls, they're like in the play-in spot. It's anybody's guess which two teams are not going to make the playoffs in the West because of a one or two game sample size when it comes down to the play-on. That's why I still think for the Thunder, when this season started, I said that the playoffs is a successful season regardless of, you know, whether they win a series or not. Just making the playoffs, when you look at the trajectory, when you look at the development, last year they make the play-in, this year to make the playoffs. And to make the playoffs, you need to be a top six guaranteed seed, or then you're in that play-in mess. The Thunder, as the season winds down, look more and more secure for the top six. I mean, obviously, they're in contention for the number one spot. But I've always said just making the playoffs, and it looks like that's going to happen. It looks like home court advantage is going to happen.
It looks like they're. It looks like stuff would have to go very wrong to drop below the top four.
Right.
It looks like they're going to host their first round series.
Yeah, the top four have kind of separated from the pack: the Wolves, Thunder, Nuggets, and Clippers. So for this team to jump from play-in team to hosting a first round series, that is an incredible jump once again. The jump they took last year.
Everything you could have hoped for.
Absolutely. Obviously, if you're a team that hosts in the first round, it's expected that you win. And I get that. And I would expect the Thunder to win at least a first round matchup as good as this team has been. But this West is deep and this West is tough. Any of those teams, whether you're – I would say any except for the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
The Wolves, as great as they've been, the Thunder, the Clippers, would it be a shocker if those teams played the Lakers or the Warriors or the Suns, the Pelicans in the first round and got upset? That's not a knock on the Thunder or any of those teams. I just the West is so deep.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, the Thunder should win a first round matchup. Just don't play the Lakers.
It does seem like that is the one. I think any other team down at the bottom, you can feel confident going in. I think they'd be favored to win every series.
Agreed.
I think they'll be favored to win a Lakers series just given home court. But we're both staring at this Denver Phoenix game going on. Looks like we're starting the fourth quarter right now. This is another interesting double result, like Suns lose and you're like that much more secured into like a top four, you know, you're really just putting separation between you and four. But if the Suns pull this off, you're looking at another, maybe, you know, that's another loss for the Nuggets that you might not have been counting on.
Yeah, I think Thunder fans every night are watching what the Nuggets, Wolves, and Clippers are doing because of those top four seeds and the shuffling. It's like the Wolves and Thunder have been playing hot potato with the number one spot for the last several weeks. I think that may continue all the way down to the end of the season between the Wolves, the Thunder, and the Nuggets. Like any given night.
Yeah.
It's funny, if the Nuggets win this, they'll pull ahead of the Thunder. If the Nuggets lose this and the Thunder win tomorrow against the Blazers, the Thunder will be tied for the number one seed. So like the amount of space between 1 and 3 right now is razor thin, and the Clippers aren't that far behind either. So all these results between those four teams is going to be fun to watch. And obviously you want the higher seed, the better, further you go along with home court advantage. But then also we're looking at some races for the Thunder right now, coach of the year, and obviously more importantly, MVP. And if it comes down to SGA and Jokic, if perchance the Thunder were to get the number one seed with this young of a team and Jokic, the reigning champs, were to say be the three seed, does that tip the scales to SGA to win MVP? So yeah, these Nuggets games are of
they're big.
High interest.
Yeah. And I should say, if the Thunder, as the youngest team in the league, were to get the one seed, I think they should get to pick their opponent in the first round. What do you say?
I would love it, because nobody wants to see teams jockeying for position at the end on the final day and being like, okay, do we need to throw this game? Do we need to win this game? Yeah. What do we need to do? We're trying to avoid this team or trying to play this team. Just let them pick the opponent.
Let's just pick. What if they allowed that and we picked the Timberwolves?
Just to be petty.
Yeah.
That'd be so great for Twitter. This is a fun game though. Let's say Thunder Focus tweeted out playoff odds of all the teams. I have in my head who I would like the Thunder to play the first round. So 18% chance right now would be the Kings, 18% chance it would be the Mavs, 16% Pelicans, 15% the Suns, 15% the Lakers, 14% the Warriors. Now, those percentages are going to flip-flop every day. So that's but it's going to come down very most likely to one of those six teams: Kings, Mavs, Pelicans, Suns, Lakers, Warriors. If you could choose, let's say your scenario came true and the Thunder got to choose their first round opponent, who would you choose?
I would choose the Kings.
I would choose the Kings too. Isn't that funny?
What's your number one reason why? Because I have a very definitive number one reason why.
My number one reason why is top end talent. I think I think Sabonis and Fox are great. They really, really are. But I just think SGA clears. SGA is going to clear most of these guys. Here's how I should explain it. I think Fox and Sabonis are clearly the Kings' two best players. And I think the Thunder matches that with SGA, who's better than their two best players, but then also J-Dub and Chet. So they have a true big three, which I think is better than the Kings' top two. And their defense.
That's it for me. I'm so about a Kings matchup. It would be so fun for a lot of reasons, but if we're talking about just like who we would want them to play, the reason I picked the Kings is their perimeter defense for a team that is just so drive oriented, and that is their identity on offense, is we are getting 2 feet in the paint right away. That is the team you want to play against, because they're just very small on the perimeter. Like, Davion Mitchell is a very, very capable defender. He's also very short. And that is when you've got big guards like Jalen and Shea, even Josh, that matters. And aside from him on the perimeter, they are not near as capable, like keeping guys out of the lane, as some of these other teams like the Pelicans. The Pelicans would be, I think, with Herb Jones being the main guy, a difficult matchup as far as that is concerned. The Kings would be a much more favorable matchup trying to guard us on the perimeter.
Yeah, I know that the Kings, that seems like a wild answer because the Kings had beaten the Thunder 8 times in a row until this past time, but I think this past game is more reflective of how these teams match up currently, and the Thunder blew them out. And if I'm going into a playoff series, like, who scares you more? Fox and Sabonis, again, are great. Legitimate
all-stars. Really, really good.
But who scares you more, like Fox and Sabonis or Luka and Kyrie or LeBron and AD or KD and Booker and Beal or the Pelicans, like, Zion, Ingram, CJ, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, like the depth there, or seeing Steph go crazy possibly and Draymond and everything that comes with the Warriors? The Thunder play the Kings one more time this season. They're down 2-1. I expect them to tie that.
Who would be your second team? Because we might differ here.
My second team would probably be the Warriors.
Okay. I would say Dallas.
Yeah, that would be the other team I was considering.
I just don't want to see the Warriors. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
Because it's the Warriors. And, like,
yeah,
they can stink all year and have issues all year. But when it gets to the playoffs, the experience – and that's the other thing about the Kings. They don't have the experience in the playoffs like the other teams do. Obviously, we're talking OKC. They have the least amount of experience. But number two would be the Kings. But that Warriors experience and Steph in the playoffs, Draymond in the playoffs, I wouldn't want to see it either. But I do think the Thunder really match up well against the Warriors.
They do. They
and,
do.
And I think that they're clearly the better team right now. But, you know, the playoffs, the Warriors pass.
And, yeah, I mean, like, the Celtics are going to play a really bad team in the first round. Yeah. Like, almost automatically, they're going to play a bad team. Like, weird. It's just so wild, the difference between the East and West this year.
Yeah.
And it's been like that in other years, but this is wild. Like, Oklahoma City is the one seed, and we're like, who do we really want to play?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, and the Kings are like kind of by default the team that we've chosen, but that's still having to play the Kings.
They were the three seed last year. They were the three seed.
And they're
really good.
Good team. And they're an easy team to root for.
One of the best home. Yeah, they are. And one of the best home court atmospheres in the West.
Yeah. And typically young teams like the Thunder, you know, don't play as well on the road. Role players don't shoot as well on the road, especially in those environments. But yeah. Still got to choose.
We watched this Thunder team give up extended runs.
Yeah.
And if you want to go give up an extended run, go to Sacramento. They are more than happy to pour it on.
Yeah.
They, like, timeouts will be used in Sacramento. That's a good team. That's a good team. No, like, this is no shade to them. We're just choosing lesser of very good teams.
Isn't it wild though that two of these teams are making? It's hard to even pick which of the, like
if the Lakers and Kings played in a play-in game tomorrow, who would you take?
I would probably choose the Lakers. It's just hard to choose against the experience LeBron in the playoffs, looking at one game and AD and the problems. But it would not surprise me at all to see the Kings win.
It wouldn't surprise me at all to see the Kings win by a lot.
Right.
It's just so random. Like, the matchups are so random, and like the sample size is so small. I could see, especially if it's in Sacramento, that's a tough place to go play.
It is. The Pelicans are interesting because when they're healthy, they're a dangerous team, and I feel like they're kind of the under the radar team that everybody forgets about. Nobody really gives any true credence to, but they could be a dangerous team. The interesting thing about them is they've got a little bit of separation, that five spot to the seven spot. They're up two games right now on the Kings. So it truly could be some combination of Suns, Kings, Mavs, Lakers, Warriors, two of those not making the playoffs. That's wild to think of.
Should send a couple of these teams to the East.
Yeah. Truly.
You guys get to go play over there. All right. The Thunder play in Portland tomorrow night. When you're listening to this, it's probably tonight. This is, like, obviously a game they expect to win, but we've also seen them play Portland pretty loose, I would say. And a game that's come down to be much closer than it probably should have been. Was watching Portland last night and against Minnesota, actually. They are a pesky team. Honestly, it doesn't matter who ends up suiting up because they have a lot of guys that are in and out day to day. So we'll have to see who plays, but it's not a team that should be taken lightly, despite the record, despite, you know, who the names on the other side. It's a game they should just go and play some defense and put it away early.
I think it's going to be a blowout. I know the last
it
game,
should be.
The Thunder only won by two the last game. It seems like they're kind of playing with their food a little bit. And credit to the Blazers. They came out, played hard, and played well. But the previous two matchups, the Thunder won the first game by 43, and the Thunder won the second game by 62. because it was that one that like people were wondering if they could break the Grizzlies Thunder record.
Yep.
And they really could have gone for it if they didn't take their, you know, foot off the gas. Then of course game three, I think it was only 12 days after that. So I think the Blazers came in with something to prove and they played well. I think the Thunder coming off of this loss to the Lakers, the Thunder have beaten the Blazers 11 straight times, Ryan. And I don't think Jeremy Grant's playing. Malcolm Brogdon's not playing.
I don't expect a close game. I'm just saying, after what we watched them do against an 11 win Spurs team, I would like to see them go in with a little more urgency from the jump and play a semblance of their top five defense against a bad team and not have to rely on shooting variants, I'll say, and you know, letting a team get in rhythm and stay there.
This game tips off at 9 o'clock local Oklahoma time. So it should be done about 11:30. I think Thunder fans may feel good about going to bed about 10:30 and knowing that they got the win.
It'll be 11:30 for me. I'd love that. I'd love that as an East Coaster.
That would be my guess. The Thunder played music really well
to my ears.
After a disappointing loss like that Lakers loss, I think they'll come out play really well. This is a chance for the Thunder to really kind of put some wins in the win column, because the Thunder have won 7 straight at home. And after this Blazers game, they have 4 straight at home. Well, one, put some cushion on those 5 and 6 seeds for home court advantage, then maybe, you know, gain some ground and solidify a 1 or 2 spot in the West. The Thunder have a chance to go on a little roll again here.
Getting back home, I think, will be another welcome week-ish. Yeah, it's been anytime you're going west, the games are tough, the travel's tough. So we will see how tomorrow night goes, and we will we'll be back to talk about that and the rest of the weekend's games next Monday. Brandon, as always, thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. This is the Daily Thunder Podcast.